Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. The Gospel of Matthew, the 24th chapter, the great Olivet Discourse, where Jesus declared what was going to transpire in the end times. And folks, we're closer to seeing the actual fulfillment of all biblical prophecy right now than we have ever been before. Look at verse 21. Jesus said this, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." And then down to verse 29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Someone asked this relevant question: what in the world is going on in the world? Well, I'm here to tell you that what is going on in the world is a movement and a rush toward the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming back to this earth, and He's coming soon. And I say to you, get ready and do it now. If you're not ready for His coming, be certain you get ready. Now, when Jesus first came, He came as a babe in a manger. But when He comes again, He's going to come as the King of Kings in all of His royal splendor. When Jesus first came, He came to die, but He's coming again to reign. When Jesus first came, He came to die on the cross, but He's coming again for His crown. When Jesus first came, He came to be despised and to be rejected, but He's coming again to be praised and to be worshipped. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 21. And let me read some more scripture about the return of Christ. Luke 21, beginning with verse 25. Jesus speaking again. And here's what He said: "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Now listen to this, folks. "Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." The signs of the times are everywhere. As I said already, we are living in the day of the fulfillment of biblical prophecy right before our eyes. All of history is aimed at that one great climatic event, rushing toward the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is the King coming? First of all, Jesus is coming for His church. Now, here on earth, when we have a wedding, you know, the proling or the wedding march goes like this: "Here comes the bride, here comes the bride." But the heavenly wedding march is this way: "Here comes the bridegroom," because the bridegroom is the Lord, and He is coming for His church. Now, when He comes for His church, it's going to be a snatching away. It is going to be the rapture of the church, what David Jeremiah, when I heard him this morning, calls the great disappearance. Take your Bibles and let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4th chapter and 13th verse. Check your Bibles and flex them a little bit in the New Testament, because we're going to be in several other scriptures. I want you to listen to what Paul wrote to the Christians in Thessalonica, because they were concerned about those who had died in Christ. What was going to happen to them if the resurrection took place? I do not, beginning in verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who've fallen asleep. In other words, those who have died. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain together shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That's going to be the rapture of the church. Turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. For more than 2,000 years, Christians have anticipated and longed for the Lord's return. The scoffers and the unbelievers, they ridicule the second coming of Christ. They ridicule the rapture. But that's all right. That doesn't change the truth. And what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians is going to occur one of these days. It's going to become a reality. The rapture of the church will take place, and every Christian, those who've fallen asleep in the Lord, and those of us who are still alive, and we could be the terminal generation right here today. As a matter of fact, as David Jeremiah said, the rapture could take place before this day is over. There's nothing left to be concerned about before that happens. And we will meet the Lord together in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, as I've already stated, one thing needs to be said about the rapture. Nothing has to be fulfilled in biblical prophecy before the rapture occurs. I mean, it can occur at any moment. So it is important for you to be sure that you're ready for the rapture of the church. I hope you know the Lord Jesus. If you do not know Him, let this be the day of victory and rejoicing as you open your heart to Him. Listen to verse 31 one more time here in Matthew 24. And He will send His angels with a great sound of trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Who are those elect going to be? There are going to be people who are saved during the tribulation period. And there are those who are going to lose their lives to the Antichrist, but there are those who are going to survive. And at the end of the tribulation, Jesus said he's going to send his angels to gather those surviving elect away from the wrath of the Antichrist. Now, the king is also coming for another reason. He's coming to execute judgment upon the earth. And the situation is going to be as severe as possible. I want to share with you verse 30 from the Amplified Translation here in Matthew 24. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all tribes of the earth will mourn and beat their breasts and lament in anguish, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, with brilliancy and splendor. You know why they're going to mourn and beat their breast? Because they are going to realize that the one they rejected is the one whom they should have trusted. They're going to realize in that moment that he and he alone was the only one who could save them from eternity in the lake of fire. In the words of the old musical God's trombones, "Too late, sinner, too late. Goodbye, sinner, goodbye. In hell, sinner, in hell. Beyond the reach of the love of God." So I say this to you. If you're not ready for the Lord's return, then you need to face the fact that when he comes back, you must suffer the eternal horrors of everlasting death. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, the Bible talks about the books will be open, and those whose names are not found written in the book of the Lamb of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The first death is physical death. The second death is eternal death. And I want to say to you, if you've never opened your heart and asked Jesus to come into your heart, do it even during this message. Just say to him, "Lord Jesus, I repent. I turn from sin. I turn to you. I want you to forgive me for my sins and be my Lord and Savior." One day, those without Christ are going to long to be his. But then, they would have delayed themselves right into the pit of everlasting death. It'll be too late for people to repent of sin in their lives. It'll be too late for them to call on the name of the Lord. It will be too late for people to receive Jesus into their hearts. It will be too late for people to turn their whole lives over to him. Yes, it will be too late to escape the horrors of eternal death and receive the gift of eternal life. Jesus is coming again. And some people are not ready. Some of you who are viewing this message right now are not ready. And if the Holy Spirit is convicting you of this moment and saying to you in your heart, you need Jesus, then this is the time for you to settle the issue of your eternal destiny. Now the question is, the king is coming, when will it be? Now that's a question that no man can answer. Look at verse 36 here in Matthew 24. Jesus said, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be coming the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, all through the ages, there have been attempts to predict when Jesus will return. Martin Luther, he said that Jesus would be back in 100 years. He lived in the 1500s. Sir Isaac Newton, the great English inventor said the time is at hand. He lived in the 1600s. William Miller. Boy, he's got an interesting story. He was a farmer in the state of New York. And he made this declaration. Jesus is coming back on March the 21st, 1843. But when that didn't happen, he changed it. He said, whoops, I was off a year. He'll be back on March 21st, 1844. And when that didn't happen, he said, whoops, I goofed again. He'll be back on October the 22nd, 1844. Obviously, Mr. Miller had no idea of how wrong he was. I remember when I was pastoring a church that was just beginning in Houston, 1987, I got a booklet, it's somewhere in my library right now, a booklet by Edgar Wisenat. The booklet's title was 87 Reasons Why Jesus is going to return in 1987. And the tribulation's going to break out and the second coming will be in 1995. Well, evidently, he was wrong, but then he came out with another booklet. 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Return in 1988. He missed it again. And there are still those people, once in a while, some foolish individual who will trap other individuals into believing that Jesus is coming on a certain date. You know, recently when we had the solar eclipse, there were people who were saying, oh, the rapture of the church is going to take place now. No, because as Jesus said, nobody knows when that hour is going to be. Only the Lord Himself. Now, even though we cannot calculate the precise date that Jesus Christ is going to come, we can say based on certain signs enumerated in the Bible that He is coming soon. One of those signs, and let me share with them, that indicate the imminent return of the King of Kings as a permissive society. Matthew 24, verse 12, the first part. And because lawlessness will abound. Lawlessness is going to abound. The King James says, iniquity shall abound. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And we want to go to chapter 3 in 2 Timothy. And let me share with you what Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy. Beginning with verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Perilous times are here now. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. If that's not a description of our society right now, I don't know what is one. We are living in a country where evil has been elevated above righteousness. We're living in a nation where wrong has become right, and right has become wrong. And this is not just a problem in America. It is a disease that has infected the whole world. Another sign is a falling away in the church. And the zenith of that falling away will take place during the tribulation. Because there's a lot of people in churches that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to be left behind. In the words of Tim LaHaye, who did that wonderful series. There's going to be a theological falling away. And there's going to be a moral falling away. Turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. We're seeing a theological falling away in churches across our nation today. I mean, when you've got so-called Christian pastors who stand up and say, oh, there's not a thing wrong with homosexual marriage, even though God condemns it. Romans chapter 1, He condemns it. And when they endorse and approve other acts of ungodliness, too many churches in our society have become more concerned about being seeker-friendly than about being holy-friendly, about being Savior-friendly. There is an overemphasis on being happy. Oh, everybody be happy. There should be an overemphasis on being holy. For the Bible says, you be holy. Live a separated life, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Then there is a moral falling away in our churches. Not any doubt about it in the lives of Christians. I remember a quartet years ago who sang a song that said this: Christians are so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. Well, let me say that's changed, because so many Christians today are so, they were so heavenly minded. I said that wrong. They were so heavenly minded, they were no earthly good. Let's change it around and say it right now. Today it's, they're so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. They're caught up in the world. Another sign of the imminent return of Christ is an increase in violence. In Matthew 24, 12 again, the last part of that verse says, lawlessness will abound as the people grow, as the love of people is going to grow cold. We have never seen violence in my lifetime or yours like we're seeing in the United States today. I mean, look at the violence that's everywhere. Look at what's happening on campuses across America with this orchestrated move against God's chosen people, Israel. And if this nation turns its back on Israel, get ready, because we're going to be judged for that. As Christians, we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we need to be praying for Israel today. I heard someone say this morning that these people who are doing these marches are going to become terrorists before it's all over. There are already terrorists, many of them. And they're going to try to take down America. There is a move in this nation by radicals to destroy the America that we have loved so dearly. So there's violence between nations today. There's violence in the streets. There's violence in our schools. There's violence in our homes. There's violence in the movies. There's violence on television. This generation might well be called the violent generation. Now the question about the violence, when is it all going to end? I mean, I see people shaking their heads. I heard that very question asked on a program. What can we do? Well, I'll tell you when it will end. It will end with the coming of the King. When Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, all violence is going to disappear. Another sign that the King is coming, the fourth, if you're keeping number, is an emphasis on peace, but no peace. Did you know that Jesus said there would be wars and rumors of wars? Let's go back to Matthew 24 again and look at verse 7. Jesus said, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, in the first part of that verse. Now, I read just last night that there are 45 wars, conflicts going on in the world today. 45. And they didn't even count the war that Russia and Ukraine are involved in at this time. With all the attempts to bring peace on the earth, there just hasn't been any peace whatsoever. It's like Jeremiah said, They cry, peace, peace. But there is no peace. And I'll tell you what, there is going to be no peace in this world until the Prince of Peace returns. And I want you to say something else about the war between Ukraine and Russia, which has cost America billions and billions of dollars. It troubles me that we can't take care of our own people, but we're wrecking our economy by taking care of someone else. And I don't mean to be ugly about it. I want those people to be free, just like anybody else does. But I also want us to take care of our own people in this nation. Homelessness in America is a tragedy that's beyond description. People living on the streets of our major cities. And violence. Look at the crime. Crime's like a tidal wave that's come over America. I want to say this about some people said, well, this battle between Russia and Ukraine, this is the battle of Gog and Magog, which is described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. That's not so. Because that battle is not going to take place until the beginning of the 7 years of tribulation. And Christians, we won't be here. We'll be gone. The rapture is going to take place before the tribulation period. 7 years. The first 3.5, the tribulation. The second 3.5, the great tribulation, when God will pour out the fury of His holy wrath on the world and its inhabitants. Another sign of the coming of Christ is chaos in the realm of nature. Now, there are general signs that have been around for eons. General signs like tornadoes, which just hit Oklahoma, Texas, Nebraska, Missouri, Kansas, Iowa. Those things are going to happen on a regular basis. Hurricanes, hailstorms, floods. They are reminders that all of us need to get ready for the Lord to come too. But then there are those specific signs that are enumerated in the Word of God. And that's chaos in the realm of nature. Look again here at verse 7. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Now, famines. Consider the food shortages that we are seeing here in our own nation and across the world. The rising cost of buying food. Man, I just saw a report the other day that nearly a little over 1/4 of the families in America couldn't afford to buy enough food to feed themselves as they should be fed. In fact, there is a new phrase going around, food insecurity. Are we going to have enough food? And I want you to know that millions of people in numerous countries across the world right now do not have enough food to satisfy their needs, physical needs, on a regular basis. Famines, pestilences. The root meaning of a pestilence is a fatal epidemic. And we all know about COVID-19. My goodness, we've been through the mill. Thank goodness we're not all having to wear masks. Even though there's some who say, oh, you ought to be wearing mask right now. Millions of people died from COVID-19, which started in China and spread across the world. Even almost 1 million people in America. And you know what? That epidemic is not over. There are still people coming down with COVID-19. Earthquakes in various places. Do you know what happened on January the 1st? Of this year? Listen to this. There were 1,272 earthquakes across the world, some of them with a magnitude of 7.5. There have already been thousands of earthquakes in the world since January began. And we need to realize that there's no doubt that things are going to get worse before they get better.
I remember, what was it, a few years ago, they had a little shaking over in Santa Fe. I understand there's a fault line that runs right through the Houston area. We don't know what's going to happen, but we don't know when the next killer earthquake will take place or where it's going to be. And I'll tell you something else. We don't know if there's another pandemic lurking on the scene right now, and there hasn't been an outbreak yet. Now, I do not say that to frighten anyone. I say that for one simple reason, to urge everyone to look into your heart and be sure that you're right with God. And remember this, Christian, God does not want us to live in fear. He wants us to have faith in His promise that He's going to take care of us and He's going to provide for us. Now, a final sign that Jesus is coming soon, worldwide evangelism. Look at verse 14 here in Matthew 24. And this gospel, these are the words of Jesus, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Never before has the gospel been preached on the scale that is being preached today. Satellites have made the world one vast audience. Social media, technological advances have just ensured that the world is just like I said, one vast audience. This is indeed a generation that is without excuse when it comes to the gospel. They cannot say, well, I've never heard anything about Jesus, because truly the gospel is being published in all nations. Let me say something to all of us who are Christians. We've got an awesome responsibility. We're to be the light of the world. We're to be the salt of the earth. We're to be the one who have the responsibility of sharing Jesus Christ with other people. You probably have family members that don't know the Lord. You may have fellow workers that don't know the Lord. You have friends who don't know the Lord. Who's going to tell them if you and I don't tell them that they need Jesus Christ? And there's not one of us as a Christian who can't lead someone else to the Lord. Surely we can say to them, I've met Him. Is there any reason why you can't trust Jesus right here and right now? Let me help you to pray and receive Him. Jesus' plan of evangelism has never changed. Each one, reach one. It's just that simple. Now, folks, I say again, the signs of the times are everywhere. The King is coming. It may not be long before the rapture, the 7 years of tribulation, and the return of Christ to keep mankind from total extinction during the battle of Armageddon. Now, how will His coming take place? Number one, the Lord is coming universally. Verse 27, here in Matthew 24, as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be a universal event. Everyone in the world is going to see it. Number two, visibly. And I've already said, they're going to see Him come. Verse 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then part of that verse says, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And then it's going to take place suddenly. Verse 37, but as in the days of Noah, as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. How many people in our nation today would die eternally if Jesus Christ took His church out of the world, 7 years of tribulation began, and they refused to accept Christ before His second coming. Now let's suppose that you were on a journey, a trip, a road trip, and you were driving somewhere in America, and all of a sudden, you begin to see one sign after another. Caution! Road ends ahead. Let me ask you this. Would you keep on driving like you were? Or would you slow down and get ready for the end of the road? We're seeing it today. The signs are saying the road of history ends ahead. Now, what are you going to do about that? I mean, are you going to be certain that you're ready for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ? I always tell people when I do memorial services, and I always give them a chance to receive Christ, I always tell them that delay can be eternally fatal. People will say, "Oh, who needs Jesus? Maybe one of these days I'll get around to trusting Him. But right now, I want to do my own thing, preacher. I want to build my own little personal empire." But delay can be eternally fatal. For in the book of James, the Bible says, "For what is your life? It is a vapor that suddenly vanishes." I mean, life is literally here one moment and gone the next. We read about people who've gone out into eternity every day. Sometimes it's someone we know, a family member, or someone with whom we've shared life. The King is coming. No doubt about it. And this is the moment for you to be certain that you're ready to meet Him. Let's stand together and bow our head in prayer. Let me say this to those folks who are on Facebook or YouTube. We want to give you the opportunity to receive Christ right where you are. And that same opportunity to anyone in the auditorium. Brother, would you step up to the front? I'm going to have you stand here during this invitation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've never asked Christ into your heart, let me help you to pray and receive Him right now. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I have sinned in the sight of Holy God many, many times across my life. But right here and right now, Jesus, I repent. I turn from sin. And I turn to You. Jesus, I open the door to my heart. Come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins. Be my Lord and be my Savior. From this day forth, Jesus, by Your grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will live for You as the Lord of my life. Thank You, Jesus, for dying for me on the cross. Thank You, Jesus, for paying the penalty for all of my sins. Thank You, Jesus, for coming into my heart and giving me the gift of eternal salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here and you prayed that prayer, would you just step out and come down and make your stand? You may have a membership in another church, and the Lord said, "This is where you belong." And to those of you who are watching on YouTube or Facebook, you prayed that prayer. Something wonderful happened to you. It's called being born again. And I urge you to find a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church and follow the Lord as a new believer in baptism. Do you need to come? Come on. Maybe you need to just come and bow for prayer. Or you have something you need to share. Come on and let the Lord have His way.